On November 1st, the governor announced that state employees under his jurisdiction who receive at least one dose of single-dose vaccine by the end of 2021 will be able to take 5 paid days off between December 20th of 2021 and March 31st of 2022, and will receive a lump sum payment if the time goes unused during that period. The Associated Press estimated that 70,000 Pennsylvania state employees could be eligible. And now that we are past the end date for receiving the vaccine, could you share a few things with us? First, why did you oppose the governor's vaccination leave policy? Second, what will the cost to taxpayers be to subsidize this action by the governor? Can you also tell us where the funds came from to pay for this action? And did the funds come from existing department budget lines? And is that information that we are able to access?
Thank you. It's great to see you, Senator Phillips Hill. And yes, I'd be happy to answer that question. So of course, we all want employees to get vaccinated if they can. And I've taken steps to encourage that in my own agency. So just to be clear, I've been vaccinated. I've had so many jabs from the Army, the hepatitis series, the worst was the anthrax series, that I didn't really care about this vaccine. But at Treasury, we do provide leave for people to get vaccinated and boosted, 3 hours each. And we did extend our previous sick leave policy so that if an employee does come down with COVID, they're allowed 10 days of sick leave. Okay, but I am the state's fiscal watchdog. And so that being said, I believe that the governor's policy was both unnecessary and fiscally irresponsible. So at Treasury, so agencies would absorb this. So at Treasury, just for our agency alone, it would be almost $500,000. And I don't know about other agencies, but Treasury certainly would never be able to afford that. That's a lot of money. So statewide, I originally estimated that the governor's plan could cost taxpayers, because ultimately all this money comes from taxpayers, $100 million. I know that in the budget hearings last week, it was suggested that, I think this was by Office of the Budget, that the cost was $45 million so far, but they won't have the final number until the fall. So whether the number is $100 million, whether it's $45 million, whether it's something in the middle, it's still a lot of money.
So did those funds come from existing department line items? Where did those dollars come from in the state budget?
Yes, each agency would have to spend their own money. So if people have that kind of money laying around, obviously they've been overfunded, or overappropriated, I should say. So the governor's decision, if I could just add a couple more points, it was made outside of the budget process. So it really didn't have any meaningful public scrutiny. And at a time when we've had so many small businesses struggle, close their doors permanently for good, and they continue to struggle, and especially now with increased inflation and supply chain issues, that I think we could find better ways to spend this money. And I think we should also bear in mind that the governor's policy, so people under the governor's purview, hardly anybody missed a paycheck. Nobody had disruption in healthcare. And if you look at small businesses, they don't enjoy that benefit. And I should point out, we're getting 5 days of leave for getting vaccinated, even if people got vaccinated a year ago. So I look at this as a bonus, not an incentive.
Thank you. If I could turn now to unemployment compensation fraud.
Yes.
We're aware of the reports of billions of dollars that have been paid out in fraudulent claims through our compromised unemployment compensation system. Recently, we were alerted that the fraudulent filings continue to mount using more sophisticated measures, including identity theft. Can you give us a status of that process, your involvement, and proactively what steps you're taking to strengthen the cybersecurity infrastructure around issuing Commonwealth payments?
Sure. So what we've been advocating is implementing another layer of fraud protection called AVS, which is Account Verification Service. So we did meet with the Department of Labor, and we put together a working group, and we're working on a timeline. So I do want to mention that this is really being pushed pretty hard by our banks. Okay, so what AVS is, it's a tool that it verifies direct deposit information provided by claimants against a continual database. It's this huge database of financial information. And so what that does is it helps verify an account's existence, its status, and its ownership. And so AVS can identify if there's incorrect or if it's suspect banking information. It alerts you almost immediately in real time. So currently, right now, things are verified with something called a pre-note, and that can take a number of days. This AVS can, you get the information back in seconds. So it will also improve the time for the claimant to be receiving their payment. So AVS is a tool that is already being used by the governor's office and by Department of Revenue. And in fact, the Department of Revenue likes it so much, they're expanding it to the rent rebate process as well as the income tax refunds. So I think it's a really highly effective system, and it will complement what they're currently doing as far as with the ID.me.
I have a few more questions about cybersecurity, which I will respectfully ask to have additional time with you. But if you could, just one last question. Being a fiscal watchdog, is it fiscally responsible to use one-time dollars for recurring expenses?
No.
Thank you very much.